Ari the Addisons.
Let me say this, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be careful and make sure that in everything, man, we are trying to get as close to what the word says as possible.
And we got to understand that with that type of wickedness, man, you know, God does not wink at that. That's judgment.
Promoting truth, wisdom, and empowerment.
And you don't have shades of truth. You have truth or you have error. You have fact or you have fiction.
And now we go into the thick of it.
Uh-oh. Ari the Addisons.
On American Family Radio. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And it's great to be back, Will.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been a minute. It has been a minute.
It's been an entire week. And, you know, we saw one of our blessed brothers in the Lord and co-worker. And he said, were you guys on vacation? No, brother. Now, listen, let me say this. It took me four decades to get to my first ever summer camp. I had never been to a summer camp in my life. Never, ever. Hmm. Didn't know what a summer camp was. I mean, I guess I'd read some stories about it. Yeah. You know, you see some things on like sitcoms and things like that where kids are actually dropped off by their parents and there they are. It's like Camp Survivor.
Right.
You're there for a whole week. You can't leave the island. I mean, that's just where you are. And so this was my first experience with that. And I got to say, I enjoyed it. Yeah. No, that sounds weird, but I really did enjoy it. Now, look, there is the heat. You can't do anything about that. I mean, that's just going to be with you. I mean, pretty much wherever you are in this country, generally speaking, I mean, you know, it's summer, so you can't do anything about that. But we had an incredible time with just under 90 campers at Camp Kale in Hertford, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. It was Alex McFarland's youth apologetics camp, and it was 5 days of engaging Generation Z.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a little bit nervous going in. You know, trying not to make a big deal about it. But you always, when you start to feel that you have comfortably sailed into your generational kind of niche, you know what I mean? Like, because you have this transitional period where you're not truly out, you know?
Yeah.
So like with the millennials, I didn't really truly feel out. Like I was like, you know, yeah, we're still kind of like, we have some overlap.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I, you know, at least with the older millennials, right? We, you and I would be Gen Xers.
Yeah.
By some definitions, we'd be Gen Xers, right?
I think I would totally be a Gen Xer, right?
Well,
now, you, I mean, on the other hand, may have a little.
That's because you're elderly,
overlap.
Will. Because you're a little bit elderly, all right? You're a little more elderly than I am. But yeah, that's true. You are square in the Gen X category.
No question.
I would be the youngest group of the Generation X group. I would be the youngest people born in that group, right?
Yeah.
So I felt quite comfortable with millennials engaging them until we got to the youngest millennials. Now, Gen Z, that is an entire generation removed from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit kind of like, you know, Gen Z, four of our five kids are Gen Zers.
So
that kind of puts in perspective. That's born 1999 to 2015.
Okay.
That's the generation of Gen Z.
What's Sam Witt?
I don't know if they've labeled his generation yet. Just give them time. They're
Bad
working
to the
on
bone.
It, okay? He can't define an entire generation all by himself, Will the Great. Like, he can't, as much as you want to label him.
Yeah, man,
right?
I don't know. You know.
He doesn't define an entire generation. I think they look at trends and they look at the way that generation starts to shape up.
I don't know. I think
and
his
then
behavior
also,
may be, you know, what that generation is.
Everybody within his so 2016, I guess, 2015, 2016. I don't know if they pick up in the same year because it overlaps. It depends on what you're reading.
Yeah.
To decide where the group starts and stops. And that's been, I think, consistent with all of the generations. Right. You read some information and you've got different dates and all of that. But no, I don't know what is defining how Sam Witt, number five of the Addison kids, how he ticks. I don't think it's environmental. Unless that's what you want to call me as a nickname. Okay, guilty. I mean, he's the last one, possibly. Yeah, You don't know. Yeah. Anyways, but we had a great time. Here was my
was
point
great.
Before you derailed my
No,
my
I didn't
there.
Derail your point. Go ahead.
My point was, I'm still cool.
In a motherly type way.
No, no, hold up. Oh, come on. Oh, come on now. Look, anyways, I'm still cool. And I had a grand time. I was so encouraged. I've got to tell you, all of the information that you're reading about Generation Z right now looks pretty bleak, mm-hmm. right? So Generation Zers, according to Barna's report that was out last year in 2018, Barna found that they are the least Christian generation in the history of the United States of America. So they are the least Christian.
Yeah, that's something to be concerned about.
Okay,
that's something to be concerned about.
They find the Bible to be incompatible with science and what they're learning in school.
Mm-hmm.
Generation Zers are true technology natives. Now, you remember we used to say that about the millennials. We used to say that the millennials are, it depends on where they fall in that age group. You know how if you're on the tail end of being a millennial, then you actually are sort of like a millennial, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that
it's kind of blended,
overlap.
Right.
So those who are on the tail end, they are the technology natives. But when you read some more information and you look at how the millennials kind of came of age, while they were more inundated with technology than, of course, we were, mm-hmm. you know, they were still pioneering technology.
And it's funny
because
they were
still a part of the pioneering efforts. Yeah.
Gen Z would not have a landline phone like in their house.
No, they don't. Those are the Gen Zs.
They won't even know what that is.
Gen Zs are the ones that you watch on the YouTube videos trying to use a rotary dial phone where they start dialing before they even pick it up. Have you seen the video where the kid just starts rotary dialing and then they pick it up after they get all the numbers in and you've got the parents off to the side kind of cheering them on and mocking
them. You can do it.
Come on, you got one more. You can do it.
It's pretty crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, but let's just, you and I have no idea what it's like to go through like a switchboard or whatever. So let's give them some credit, right? Like we don't know. And then maybe somebody listening to me who says, you know, we're going to patch you through. I remember that. We're going to patch you through. I don't know. Maybe not, but maybe so. So I think it's interesting to see how it all shapes up. But here's what I wanted to comment on our week. I made some observations about Generation Z after spending a week with them, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, I talk so much about it. I mm-hmm. genuinely enjoyed it, and I felt my heart just warming to this generation. And also seeing the great need that they have. And they don't mince words about what they want.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like what they desire. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. But I also don't want to ignore the fact that our country is mourning.
Yeah.
You know, you have two mass shootings over the weekend. And, you know, I don't want to ignore that. I did have a thought, though, that I want to share. Well, maybe more than one thought. Let me just be honest. Okay. Right. So one of my thoughts is this, and I guess I'm filtering this through coming off of a week with Generation Z, right? Our youngest named generation in this country, also mm-hmm. the least Christian group in the history of the United States of America, and how they are anxious. You know, these kids have, and I'm speaking generally, talking about Generation Z, right?
Yeah.
They are the ones who are overly anxious. They are the ones who have a lot of the emotional issues that they are battling. And I was thinking about how they are constantly exposed to information.
Mm-hmm.
And in many instances, parents don't even know what their kids know because of technology.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if that is true for any generation, it is absolutely true for Gen Z. They are the ones, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later, so some of it may be repeat as we make our way through the show, but they are the generation that, you know, falls to sleep with the phone mm-hmm. and then wakes up with the phone mm-hmm. and maybe checks the phone all throughout the night, right? So they are constantly getting updates. They are constantly connected. They know best, right, of any generation, the Internet of Things. They know that.
Yeah.
My encouragement and my caution to parents, you know, if you're listening and you've got someone in your life who is a Gen Zer, this may almost be difficult for you to control, but it is worth it. I don't think that our young people need to keep absorbing all of this information all of the time.
Yeah.
Because I do not believe that we as humans are built to process it and carry it.
Well, we talked about the impact that it has even on adults, like, you know, having that the depression and the
anxiety
and even the comparisons, trying to keep up with other people. And
that
has that effect on adults. So, you know.
So think about your children.
Right.
So think about them. You remember after 9/11, there was an incredible amount of research done on the children of 9/11. And this was the first time that children had that type of real-time exposure. It was around-the-clock exposure where, for the first time, young kids, were seeing planes flown into buildings, and they were seeing people
jump
for their lives, And, you know, they did research on this and found the kind of trauma that was associated with that. Now, no one thinks that you're going to be able to get the toothpaste back into the tube once it's out. So I'm not at all suggesting that we bury our heads or that we pretend that we don't know what's going on. But I am suggesting that we as parents are careful about our intake. And then we're also careful about what our kids are taking in.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because a lot of our kids are overwhelmed. They are overcome with anxiety and depression, and they are withdrawn, and they're angry, and they don't trust a lot. And the reason for that, in part, not in total, but the reason for that, in part, I think, is because of what they are constantly inundated with.
Yeah.
They are watching and clicking on and scrolling through and reading all sorts of things that, if you can think back, you know, for many of us, it may have been a while, for some longer than others, but it's nonstop.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah.
You know, it is nonstop in their news feed. It's in the palm of their hand. And I'll address some of that a little bit later coming up in the show. But let me also point this out. One of the shooters, and I'm not sure the age of the shooter in the Dayton shooting, in the Dayton mass shooting, but I know that the shooter in El Paso is 21 years old. He is Generation Z. He would be, depending on some of the numbers that you look at, because you go 1999 to 2015. So he would be, you know, according to some of the dates, on the older side of being Generation Z. And if that is not indicative of what the research shows about this sort of skeptical, withdrawn, non-religious group in our midst. And not to say that that is the natural outflow of that, but he is of this generation, you know? And I think, and look, and again, I'm not saying that just because he's in this generation, that means that this is what's going on with Generation Z. Not at all. But I think when you read this shooter's manifesto, and I hate to do it, I really hate to do it, but there are a few pieces. And then I want to get into making some observations about Camp Kale because I enjoyed it. But I think it ties in to some of my observations about Generation Z that I think when you hear it, I think maybe you'll understand it as well. And I want to be very careful because, look, as I said, we have four of our five kids are in this generation. All right. So we are raising Generation Z. And I've said so many times, you know, this is the least religious generation in the history of the country. And if you look at the older of the group, they are just scarcely out of the home, if they're out of the home at all, really. So largely, this group is still sitting around your table. They're still inside your home.
Right.
So for them to be the least Christian generation, you know, to be the least religious in, you know, some accounts, they're still under your tutelage.
Yeah.
They are still being trained by you. So the fight isn't over. But I want to share just a couple thoughts after reading a little bit of this shooter, the El Paso one, reading his manifesto, that I think, look, you know, we have to face some of the facts here.
Yeah.
Some of the things that he expresses. Well, I'll share it with you when we come back. You're listening to Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. You can connect with us via social media. Look up Aaron the Addisons on Facebook. We'll grab the break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Thank you so much for listening to Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. It's great to be with you. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will, and that's Cam with Healer.
Wonderful, wonderful. Look it up. Look it up. How appropriate, Will. Thank you so much. You do such a great job with, like, responding to the moment. Like, great encouragement. Great encouragement. There are several ways for our listeners to be able to connect with us if they want to email us or connect via social media. How can they do that, Will the Great?
Yes, you can email us at Addisons, Addisons, at AFR.net. Addisons@AFR.net. You can follow us on Facebook. Search for Airing the Addisons. On Twitter, it's at Airing Addisons. Airing Addisons. Check out our archive shows and subscribe to the Airing the Addisons podcast on AFR.net. And also on that same podcast page, we have a marriage, family, life email list that we would love for you to sign up for, subscribe to. You'll get information about conferences and things happening concerning marriage, family, and life.
All right. So I want to do this, and I don't want to spend a tremendous amount of time here only because of the warning that I gave you earlier, you know, to not be drowning in the type of information that is going to cause you to be anxious or going to cause you to be depressed or fearful. You know, I think of the Lord God's exchange with Job, you know, and one of the things that the Lord uses to remind Job that, you know, well, he's not him, right? He's like that. Basically, you could not mete out justice all around the world. Right. Like, you have no idea how to weigh justice and how to determine what is to be done and when it is to be done and who gets what meted out when. And I think in part when we are exposed to the type of information that we are exposed to, it causes us to fall into several different categories. And among those categories, I think one of them is that we try to play God. We don't even realize that we're doing this, but we start talking about what should happen and what I would do and what I think needs, you know. And so basically we are trying to, you know, play God. And I'm using that loosely. I'm not saying that people literally are trying to do that, but I think being exposed to this amount of information all around the world, all the time, we're not really designed for that. We are not. And in fact, that's what God reminds Job. You're not
that's
me.
Right.
You can't handle this, really, is what the Lord God is saying to Job. I mean, it, you know, to put it simply. And so for us, here we are, 21st century living. Everything is at the tip of our fingers. Literally, we're just thumbing through and we can find whatever information. And it has taken an incredible toll on the body. That's why there is an uptick in the amount of medication that people need just to live, just to live, because we're trying to outrun the access that we have to information. We can't get away from it. It's always in front of us. So this is another one of those things. And for that reason, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I do want to make some points here. There's an awful lot of talk about this El Paso shooter in particular, because they, you know, rightly describe him. He describes himself as, you know, having, as being a white supremacist. Like he is for, you know, racial separation. But I don't think that what we are understanding is, and in fact, I think you only really get this when you read his manifesto. I'm not suggesting it for any type of bedtime reading or anything like that.
Right.
But I think when you look at what he has written, what I see is not just white supremacy ranting. I mean, I'm looking at a mixture of, you know, Earth Day indoctrination in schools, evolution, white supremacy, right? Political rants. All of that is mixed into this manifesto. And there's some things that I read that I thought, you know, it's interesting. And I don't know if, I don't know how we will continue to discuss this or to offer commentary, but I am well aware that there are political pundits who want to make this mass shooting, as tragic as it is and as heart-wrenching as it is, they want to make this the responsibility of the president, that the president is responsible for this because of his rhetoric. And I think we need to be very careful to even hint at that.
Right.
And let me tell you why. Because what our mainstream media is doing is that they are saying anyone who is for legal immigration is xenophobic. right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who is, for a person going through the process that we have in place here to immigrate to this country and to live and to work in this country as an American, anyone who believes that America is exceptional, right? These people become hateful, racist among us. So we have to be careful, even with how much rope we give the media and saying, well, you know, I can see what they're saying here. We have to be careful. And look, you know, in New Orleans, we would say, I don't trust none one of them.
Right. Right. And the thing and the thing is, if you really want to look at it from an objective standpoint, you look just looking at it, you talk about rhetoric. There's been a lot of rhetoric on the other side, if you will, you know, as well.
Man. OK, so I'm really glad that you made that point, because that brings me to my ultimate point. And this is why I think that liberals and I think that Democrats need to be really careful with what they do with the El Paso shooter. So let me say this. If the president is to be blamed for the El Paso shooter, and let me just, I'm just, forgive me, I'm out of my mind to do this, okay? Right? To quote the Apostle Paul, I'm out of my mind to do this. But if we borrowed from liberal logic, then let me say this. Liberals would also be responsible for this El Paso shooter.
Hmm.
And let me tell you why. Because the nonstop rhetoric that is coming from them about destroying borders and allowing for a flood of immigrants and allowing for undocumented workers to live and to mm-hmm. flourish and to say, we don't need to worry about any of these systems, and to have these images of politicians carrying people across the border for these photo ops and all of these things. If we are to go with their logic, then what we could say is that they incited this shooter.
Right.
Constantly keeping this in front of weak-minded people. You did this. It's not so much what the president is saying as much as it is that you are saying, yes, we are going to open our borders. We are going to change the makeup of this country. You have driven instability in his thinking. So they need to be very careful with what they say. And I think, I mean, I'm telling you, you could get this tennis ball over on your side and you mm-hmm. could right back over to their side.
Right.
No, I think both of them are, you need to steer clear of it.
Right.
This man alone is responsible for what he did.
Right.
This man alone. And he will stand before God and give an account for what he has done. So that's as far as I want to go with that warning. But I wanted to add a little bit of a different perspective here and say, we don't need to fear what's coming from the left as much as we need to, okay, you bounce that over here, but I'm going to bounce it right back over to you. Because if he is unstable in his thinking, and the president's saying that we need to build a wall of security, that we need to filter who's coming through our borders, that they need to go through the process for immigration, if that incites him, then if that is what it is, then your incessant beating of the drum that we are going to flood this country, that there will be no barriers, no walls, no borders, then you are equally responsible.
That's right.
Because you have exacerbated his instability.
Right.
And I would like to hear them respond to that. You know, I would love to hear some.
Well, I think they would try to throw it back on the president, saying that he is the president and he's, you know, and it flows from him.
Yeah, but these guys are politicians too, and they have an incredible amount of influence.
Mm-hmm.
They have an incredible amount of influence. And I would like to know what specifically would they point to that, and again, I said I didn't want to spend, look at what you're doing.
Hey.
You're dragging me into this. I blame you. Nobody takes responsibility for anything anymore, so because of that, Will the Great, I blame you. For dragging out this conversation, I wanted to move on. Let me say this: in this manifesto, in this rant that this man kind of wrote, which I don't know if you really could call it a rant. It's unfortunate that it seems to be pretty thought out. I mean, he's got section headings in it.
Wow.
It seems to be pretty thought out. Over 2,000 words he has written, outlining why he did what he did. But there's something that stood out to me, and I was thinking about, because he would represent Generation Z, the older side of the Generation Z, or the older, you know, part of Generation Z. And I thought, you know, he puts in this manifesto exactly what we as Christians have been standing against when we teach that the Bible is finally authoritative, when we teach a biblical account of creation. I think Ken Ham would cringe at what is written in this manifesto, as would anybody, but particularly the part that I'm about to read to you now. But he goes through this manifesto and he begins talking about, you know, let me read for you here. OK, and I forgive me, anybody who would be upset by this, as much as I despise trigger warnings. Trigger warnings. Let me just tell you, I cannot stand them at all. But I want to be careful that what I am not inadvertently doing is glorifying a murderer. And that is not at all what I'm attempting to do. But I want to make this point. And my hope is that at the end of reading this to you, that you will understand the point. So bear with me. If you don't want to hear his thoughts, then you turn down the radio and I'll understand why you did that. This is what he writes. Even if other non-immigrant targets would have a greater impact, I can't bring myself to kill my fellow Americans. Even if the Americans that seem, and he uses, I would not use this word, but he uses a blank word, bent. He says they seem blank bent on destroying our country, even if they are shameless race mixers. And this is what I want you to pay attention to. Massive polluters, haters of our collective values, etc. One day they will see the errors of their ways. Either when American patriots fail to reform our country and it collapses, or when we save it. But they will see the error of their ways. I promise y'all that, he writes. And then he goes on. He says, I'm against race mixing because it destroys genetic diversity and creates identity problems. Also, because it's completely unnecessary and selfish. He writes, second and third generation Hispanics form interracial unions at much higher rates than average. Yet another reason to send them back. Cultural and racial diversity is largely temporary. Cultural diversity diminishes as stronger and or more appealing cultures overtake weaker and or undesirable ones. He is regurgitating what he has learned in public school.
Sound like Margaret Sanger. Sound like some Planned Parenthood type stuff.
He is regurgitating evolutionary theory. Do you want parents? Listen, let me tell you something. Anyway, let me continue on. Racial diversity will disappear as either race mixing or genocide will take place. But the idea of deporting or murdering all non-white Americans is horrific. And some people ask the question, you know, why would he drive 9 hours? You know, away from his home to go to it. And it seems, and I don't know. I mean, you know, nobody wants to think for someone this sick and this ill, you know. But it seems to me that he was well aware of the fact that there would be Mexican citizens coming back and forth over the border, shopping, you know, 5 minutes away from the border and going back. And so he well intended to find what he thought would be a soft target. And in fact said that he didn't think it was cowardly to set his sights on a soft target. Mm-hmm. He recommended that. Now, my point is this. When we talk about, as you hear, when we talk about indoctrinating our kids with sound, biblical, unapologetic truth.
Amen.
People look at us crazy. They look at us sideways, right? But here is what I think is important to note. This person was not just a, you know, white supremacist. He wasn't just a white nationalist, right? He wasn't just a, you know, we're going to purify our country. And as much as the news media wants you to think that, he also believed in preserving the superior race, which I guess is the definition of the white supremacist, right? But where does it where does it come from?
Right.
It has no anchor in biblical truth.
Not at all.
One blood, one race. Read Acts 17:26. One blood, one race. But if your kids are taught that there are different races, if your kids are taught, now listen, there are people who are designed and made differently on the evolutionary, you know, line, but we still need to all just get along. So we teach them tolerance. We teach them tolerance because we have taught them a lie. Now we have to just bear one another until we can't stand it. Ah! And why do we have to do? We have to do this because we have taught them that there are different developments of people.
Mm.
Guys, this is not just about white supremacy.
Right.
This is about what this man was taught in school. This is about what he saw plastered across TV as he's growing up. Earth Day, save the planet, gotta decrease our population. That's in his manifesto.
Wow.
All right, we gotta grab the break. Erin the Addisons, American Family Radio. We'll move on. Stay close.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow.
I just heard, I hate to cut him off. Welcome back. Welcome back to Erin the Addisons on American Family Radio. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will, and as Jay Carter, I have decided.
Sherry B is over in Studio CC. In just a few minutes, we'll open the phone lines. I do want to mention some of my takeaways from Camp Kale. I mean, that's what we came into this situation wanting to do, right? And so, yeah. It's difficult to ignore this tragedy in our country. You're exactly right, yeah. Will. And I think to ignore it would almost be to normalize it. Like, oh, that's just, you know, that's just another weekend. That's not normal.
Right, right.
That is not normal. Saints of God, you must give yourself to intercession. This is demonic. This is not normal. And I just, you know, even though I didn't want to spend an incredible amount of time on it, I didn't want to say nothing, because I feel to say nothing is to almost sort of just resign to the fact that, oh, this is just 21st century right. American living. It's not.
Right, right.
It's not.
Not normal. That's
it's
right.
not normal. And I refuse to allow that to become normal in my mind, in my thinking, in the way I engage, in the way I live. Look, you guys have got to make the connection between the increased rates of people needing medication just to get through the day and the overexposure to this type of information.
Mm.
I mean, you know, and to say nothing of our precious young kids
yeah.
who are, you know, exposed to this.
Yeah.
And you think they don't hear what's going on in the background. They hear, they know, they understand. You know, and it's just, it's sad. It really breaks my heart. Let me say this. I got a great text message from my sister, and I don't know if she'd mind me saying her name, so I'll just err on the side of caution. But she made a great point, and I want to bring this into the discussion here just for a second, and then we'll move on. But she said, she said her thought on calling it the manifesto of this killer, of this sick individual, that it gives him a certain status. And she said it bothers her. It just bothers her. You know, because in addition to the fact that he's not killed, you know, it seems like he's some sort of author, right? That he's authored something that's important that we should be discussing. And I said, man, that's a great point. You know, what should we call it? We don't call it a manifesto. What should we call it? And she's like, I don't know. I've been thinking about that. A deranged letter.
Yeah.
A deranged letter. So if anybody's got something different or better, then when we open the phone lines, you can let us know. I agree with her 100%. We don't need to inadvertently glorify this individual at all.
Right.
At all. He is the worst of what is American.
But I think the connection that can be made to, I'm thinking about Camp Kale, is that the age group and what they've been receiving in schools, you know, through education, is this type of mindset
that's
being displayed by this killer.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, and I'll say this, we don't even realize how much our kids are being groomed to reject the truth. They are being groomed to reject biblical truth. Now, they will accept what the world presents as truth. So let me do this, and then I'm going to open the phone lines here. But I wrote five takeaways from my week with the most non-Christian generation in American history. That's according to the Barna Group. The most non-Christian generation in American history, that is Generation Z. Well, when you know that kind of information going into a week like I went into, I have to tell you, I was incredibly encouraged. I was surprised, yes, and incredibly encouraged, because that's the thing about statistics, right? They're not individual people, okay? Yeah. That's the thing about numbers, and when you're polling people, they're not individual people, because I found reasons for hope. I found reasons to be encouraged. And let me give you just a few of my takeaways from Camp Kale, spending a week with Generation Z. Number one, our teens want mentors. Listen to me carefully. They want people who are going to carve out time to invest in them.
Yeah.
Now, it seems that they don't. I just have to believe that it seems they don't, because we have not. But they actually want mentors. Number two, Generation Z is under 24/7 peer pressure. And I want to say shout out to my dear sister. You know who you are. You're in Arkansas. You're listening right now. Because I asked this question in a small group. I just wanted to ask, I wanted to find out from them. I said, what is the number one opposition, or what is the number one obstacle standing in the way of you living an authentic Christian life in the 21st century? Like, what stops you living as faithful Christians? And there was one particular sister who said, she said, we are constantly connected to people. There is no break. There is no break from social media or the pressure to agree with the culture. There is no break from it. And when we reject the culture, we are immediately labeled. Expressing a biblical worldview in school or on social media is a death sentence, socially speaking, for our kids today. And I got to tell you, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I don't think that, you know, I didn't process what it means to be growing up constantly connected to social media.
Yeah.
And then to understand that to live an authentic Christian life means that you become social pariah. You are pushed on the outskirts. Guys, this is what our kids are facing every single day. I'm going to say this one last point, and then we'll open the phone lines. One of my takeaways from Camp Kale, spending a week with Generation Z, they want to see boldness, and they want to be encouraged to be bold.
Yeah.
As I talked with the kids who attended this camp, there was one consistent thank you that I got from them, and was all across the board, consistently the same thank you from the different campers. And it was, thank you for being bold. That's what they said. Thank you for showing us that it's okay to be bold. Thank you for, now look, and I take that for granted. I mean, I think I came here bold. My mom might say, yeah, she did. We had to work on that, right? You had to, you have to keep it in its context, right?
Yeah.
But I take for granted that there is, like, there is the temptation to not be bold. There is the temptation to cower. You know what? Our Generation Z, they're saying, we want to see boldness. So look, all of these outreach programs that you're doing in your church where you're watering come down on, the truth and you're telling them just make friends and just make nice, they don't respect you. They see that as weak. You know what Generation Z, who's faithfully trying to live in this world, what they really want? They want boldness. They want to see people who don't care if it costs them their social standing. They're tired of being told to keep quiet and sit at the end of the lunch table. So they want to encounter people who are like, no, if this is the free exchange of ideas, come over here. I have one. And we can do this. We have the truth. Would you have your kids look to you and ask your opinion on issues? Then show them that your Christ that you preach is worth your social death. Show them that. Show them that you're willing to lose a few friends to tell the truth. Because that's what this generation respects. The phone lines are open. 888-589-8840. And I love them for it.
Man. Wow.
I love them for it.
And they want to talk about these issues. Like,
yes,
they're not shying
do.
Away. They're not like, you know, shrinking back.
And no, they're not.
They want to know about it. And if we as a people of God have the truth of the word about it, they need to hear it.
Because
they want
it.
They want
to hear
it. That's
exactly right. Amen. Amen. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you want to talk to us, we'll talk to you. I got to tell you, I know love is such an overused word, but I just fell in love with the kids that I got to spend the week with. And I, you know, there were so many of them that I thought, man, I want to spend more time with them. Like I want to be able to address some of their concerns, because even though it's an entire week, right? There's still not enough time. Because every single day our kids are inundated. Every single day our kids are being indoctrinated by the culture, which,
right,
by the way, they know that they're being indoctrinated by the culture. They know it, guys. They know it. And they despise it. They don't like it. So they are just waiting for someone outside of their generation, within their generation, to stand up. Man, I'm thinking of flame. We use flame as an illustration to show this is boldness in the 21st century American country that we're living in.
Yeah.
This is boldness. That you say, no, Katy Perry, you can't steal my song. Then use it to worship Satan. You can't do that and expect me to sit down because I'm just a nice Christian. No, I'm going to sue you. And by God's grace, I'm going to win. He was outspent. He was outlawyered. And he was unknown to people in Katy Perry's sphere. But the Lord gave the Christian rapper Flame the victory.
Amen.
All right. Should we go to the phone lines, Will the Great? Who do we have first?
Jonathan in Texas. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Yeah, I'm reminded of George Orwell's 1984, where everybody is indoctrinated to believe one way. There is no other way.
Yeah.
That's where we are.
Going on.
I mean, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And then everyone is afraid to say that they have a difference of opinion. Everyone's afraid to say, you know, I disagree with that.
Right.
Which, again, and we'll go back to the phone lines. Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate you calling in. Excellent observation. Look, I think because here's the other thing. If you stand up, think about this young generation here. You stand up and you say something different, then your standing up and telling the truth makes you hateful. It makes you hateful. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. 888-589-8840. Will the Great. Who do we have?
We have, let's see, Calvin in Georgia. Hey, Calvin.
Hey.
All right.
Just quick observation.
From
1966 until February of 2018, there have been 52 mass shootings in the United States. And out of the 52 mass shootings, 24 of those mass shootings was under President Obama administration. So if we're going to blame Donald Trump for everything, should not we blame President Obama for the 24th mass shooting that was done under his administration as well?
Man, you know, that is a really interesting observation. I've got to tell you, coming up later in the week, and I hope that everyone can listen, because to your point, coming up later in the week, we are going to interview Reverend Anthony Thompson. He has authored the book Call to Forgive, and his wife was one of the people who one of the 9 black worshipers who were killed in the Emmanuel AME shooting while President Obama was still in office, right? And so I think it's really interesting. Look, the hatred and the demonic activity that is present in the heart of an individual who takes innocent life does not know presidential candidates. It does not know a presidency. It does not. I mean, this is evil, is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Let's try to squeeze in one more call.
Patty in Baton Rouge. Hey, Patty.
Hi. I'm going to try to make this quick, but if I can, four points. One, I got to get in. Thank y'all so much. You do not know how much your program was needed. I swore I wasn't going to do this. I have we're older parents. I have a daughter, 1999, and I saw her friends growing up. I mean, I was raised with, families. We both had them growing up, and friends would come over, and instead of playing, they would sit there, you know, when they got middle school and high school, and play on their whatever, their pads or whatever, and they wouldn't visit. And I would, I'd say, forget it, you know. And one point after, for a summer party after the pool, I made them put their electronics in a box. And I said, call your significant other, your parents. I got them at the door. It was a sleepover. And I said, tell them I'll have them by my side all night. They were horrified. And my daughter wanted to kill me. The parents, I didn't know how they were going to take it. I was mom of the year. And another thing, I saw the way there's a school here, and it's one of the best schools. And it had to go to a different location for a couple of years to get rebuilt. I drove by it every day. They had Christians outside every day holding hands under the oak tree praying, okay? They moved back to where they were supposed to. My daughter was going to the same school, different location. By the time she got out, they were holding hands all right. Girls were holding hands with girls, guys with guys. They had homosexual clubs. They had, you know, it was just awful. And but one thing, I mean, just the way they communicate, and I thought that, and I said, they get this all the time, and they need electronics for school. You can't stop it. We have one TV, no cable.
Let me say this, because we're running out of time. Your observations are so accurate.
Yeah.
It is the Internet of Things, and we live in a society where you really can't exist without it, especially if your kids are in school. So what you did was exactly right. Sometimes we've got to force the unplug. All right, we're out of time for today. Thanks so much for listening to The Addisons. Until tomorrow, Lord willing.
God bless.